but we love you and thank you for watching. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Rebbetzin Don, and Miss Carol's back there on the sound booth, and we have Mr. Anthony with us, and he's going to give his message today. We're thrilled to have him back to teach Torah. Praise the Lord. After his stroke, he had strokes, right? But he's looking good.
Mm-hmm. He's
looking dapper, as Pastor Ed said. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to get started. Let's worship the Lord.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora besimcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora besimcha. Ora besimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Melucha, Shabbat Melucha.
Hey!
Hallelujah!
This day for Israel, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy. This rest, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, the Sabbath of his rest, Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. If you could give me a little more monitor back here and just Joe down slightly, but not too much, just me up a little bit. Monitor.
I'm always competing with her.
Praise the Lord. Let's
turn him down. He's always too loud.
He's too loud.
Always too loud.
Everybody wants more sound to hear themselves more.
Okay. The blessing of the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech hayeshua b'mashiach yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Thy holiness. to love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Answer us, O Lord. Visham Rubene Israel et HaShabbat Tod et HaShabbat Ledoro Tamberit Olam. Visham Rubene Israel et HaShabbat La Sod et HaShabbat Ledoro Tamberit Olam. B'nei u'b'nei b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, hodhi li'olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Kisheshet yamim asa Adonai, Asa Adonai, Shemayim ve'aretz, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat, la'sod et HaShabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war, for God will bless them. Bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As the word commands us in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. Father, we come before you and we bow our hearts, bow the knee, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray what Shalom really means. The peace of Jerusalem is the coming of the Messiah, not just second coming, but into every heart, into every person. Peace is when each person individually has redemption in Messiah and receives the Messiah. That's what the peace of the Messiah is. And so we just pray for that salvation, that you remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, that you would open their eyes and show them their Messiah, Lord. We know in everything in its time and in a season, there's a time and a purpose, a time and a season to every purpose under heaven, Lord. There's a time and a season to every purpose under heaven. And you every day is appointed. Every day you knew what would happen every day. You knew what the weather would be every day. You knew all of it before it ever happened, Lord. You knew history. You knew the good things and the bad things, all before it ever happened. And you know the outcome. You know what's going to you tell us the end from the beginning, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray also for our Messianic brethren in this country and around the world as they have their services today, that you'd lift their arms, that you'd strengthen them. Some of them are in very difficult places like Ukraine, where they have persecution, and France. And I just pray, Lord, that you just lift them up and strengthen them today, and help them, give them boldness, help them to minister the word in power and anointing, and bring people out, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. And we just pray for Carolyn, Lord, that you just take that cough and heal her right now in the name of Yeshua, that you'd heal, just take away that cough right now in the name of Yeshua, Lord. Just clear her throat right now. Take it away. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you just bless our executive leaders, Lord, and that they would remove the spirit of Shebna and give us the spirit of Eliakim, bring in the spirit of Eliakim, that they would not, none would lord it over people, but that our high leadership, any rabbi, would not lord it over people, but that they would treat the flock with love and care and tenderness, that we would have more fathers. Your word says we have many teachers, but few fathers, that you would give us more fathers, Lord, and fewer teachers and more fathers. Thank you, Lord. Send us more fathers. Lord, thank you that you build this congregation, that you bless our Yehuda Messianic congregation. I thank you that you bless it, that you bless Lion of Judah, and that you bless For Zion's Sake Ministries, Lord. We just call down your blessings upon this ministry, and thank you that the word goes forth unhindered and bold in power and anointing. Lord, we thank you, bless the newsletter, you anoint it powerfully, that it opens hearts and eyes to what's going on in the world biblically. Hallelujah. Biblically, Lord. And we just give you the praise and the glory today. Anoint our service. Bring forth your blessing in the word and power, demonstration of power and anointing. And bless, anoint the worship. Make it a great day today, Lord. Bind the enemy. Save the lost. And bind up the brokenhearted. Heal the sick. In Yeshua's name. In Yeshua's name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray for our nation. Lord, we pray these riots. It's time. Enough is enough. They're destroying this country, and I'm not impressed with it. I don't care who they are. I don't care whether they're Antifa, whether they're Black Lives Matter. I don't care whether they're Democrats or plutocrats. I pray they stop, and that you stop them from destroying our country and destroying our history and destroying our monuments, that you would stop them, Lord. We just pray. Yes. And we thank you, Lord, that you have the power to stop them, and their energy would be wasted in vain, that their energy would be wasted in vain. Let them waste their energy in vain. Let them wear themselves out. Let them wear themselves out till they collapse in exhaustion to the point where they give up. Thank you, Lord, because the people who don't agree with them are resting peacefully and not even exerting themselves. So let them go exert themselves and wear themselves out and get gray hair. Praise the Lord in Yeshua's name. Bring peace back to America, Lord. Bring peace and stop the rioting. Stop the lawlessness, Lord. Stop this lawlessness and strengthen our president. Strengthen our leaders, especially those who are for restoration of lawfulness. And bless our police officers. Lord, bless those who enforce the laws of this country. We know there's bad apples in every group, Lord. There's no every team, every sports team has bad apples. Every school has students who are bad apples. Every organization has people who are out for bad with their own agenda. There's never been an organization I've seen, or a restaurant or a business, that didn't have somebody who had their own agenda and had a, you know, was a bad apple. But and there's bad apples among law enforcement, but we still need them, Lord. It's funny, the lady was protesting, and then her baby started to choke, so she called 911 or called the police. The police came and helped and saved the baby, but she was protesting against the police. It's funny how when you need the police, you forget that you call them. And when somebody breaks into your house and you're scared, who do you want to call? You're going to call Ghostbusters, right? You're going to call the police. Praise the Lord. God bless the police. God bless President Trump. Lift up his arms and strengthen him in Yeshua's name and his family, and protect them and Yeshua's name. Amen.
And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves. You know the Lord, He longs to bring them back, the captive ones of Zion, the people of His promise. Don't you know the Lord, He wants to send them out, a light to light the world, salvation to the nations. La 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 la. Those who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves of harvest. Don't you know the Lord has done great things for us? We were like those who dream to fill our mouths with laughter, to fill our tongues with joy.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Please rise for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Gevul, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher nochim etzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham b'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'derech u'v'shach b'cha u'v'kumecha Ukishartam, Liot al Yadecha, Bahayula Totafot Bene Necha, Ukhatav Tam, Almazazot Betecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words, which I command you this day, be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house, and upon your gates. Amen.
Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamvorach.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Lelam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Lelam Vaed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. Ve'natan Lanu Et Torto. Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe,
who has sanctified us by his commandments and commanded us to read the Torah in Yeshua's name. Hang on, folks. We're just getting Mr. Anthony a microphone. So hang on one sec. Folks can't hear you without a mic. So we want to get the whole message. We want to get the whole breakfast sandwich. Amen? We don't want half the breakfast sandwich. We want the whole sandwich.
Okay.
Amen.
It's all ready to go. Okay. Right. Korach. That's the Torah portion today. It's from number 16. And as I was saying, you know, the Word of God is always prevalent today. And just like today's Torah portion tells us a lot about where we're at today in this world. You see, God gave a decree that all the generation older than 20 years old, I'm sorry, younger than 20 years, and Josh and Caleb would survive and not perish in the desert because of the sins of the spies. And so God declared that decree. And see, God has given us the Torah to make peace in this world. It's not to disrupt the world, but it's to bring peace and unity within the world. And so today's Torah portion is Korach. If you know anything about Korach, he was a cousin of Moses and Aaron. He was from the tribe of Levi. And he also was a privileged person because he was involved in the services in the temple. And so he was involved, he held a position within the congregation there because he was actually from the tribe of Levi. You see, but Korach, he had an understanding that he wanted to experience the absolute closeness to be with God and to enter into what was the Holy of Holies. And it's sort of like where we're at today in this world. We have people like Korach who are wanting, they're leading other people, and they're wanting to basically take over. And that's sort of where Korach was at back then, is like we are today. There was a leader that wanted to take over and make himself the leader. You see, he had the understanding that he should be, that he was called to be the high priest and not Aaron. That was the problem. He wanted to be the high priest. He wanted to go into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, and he wanted to observe the festivals and partake of them and be a part of God's part that he had, but that wasn't God's plan. You see, he was God, after all, had instilled the Israelites, they were a kingdom of priests. So he was actually a priest, but he wasn't called to be the chief priest. You see, Korach and his followers, they all gave up everything they had for an experience to be the leaders and having a closeness to God. You see, they even made incense and put it in pots and brought it before the altar that they were going to anoint. And so our good intentions, God is telling us our good intentions are not always enough to be sufficient to supply what God is looking for. You see, God looks out at our actions and not at our intentions. We all have good intentions, but a lot of times our intentions fall by the wayside because we get involved in something else. So God is not looking at our intentions. He's looking at what our actions are. What are you going to really do? And so we see today as this was unfolding and they were trying to unseat Aaron as the priest, you know, God opens the earth up and Korach and all of his family and all of his followers are thrown down into the kettles of hell. The earth opens up and they fall all the way into hell and they perish. And the censers, the 250 censers of the anointing of the oils that they had there, God consumed them with holy fire. And then there was like today, you know, we've been experiencing a plague, and I think this is again following the Torah, because there was a plague ensued that day, and there was over 14,000 people who perished. And we've had a lot of people perish here in the United States with this COVID virus. It's a plague, really, and it's disrupted everything and everybody and literally in the whole world. And so it's so much like today. But I think God is telling us by making the wrong choices, we should first seek God, seek his truth, and seek unity rather than division. We have a lot of division in the world today, but God is saying, look for unity is what I desire. He wants us to seek him and to seek his truth and to come unified together as a group. God separates and makes division in the world. You know, if you look at the second day of creation, God divided the firmaments, and he is still divided today. And so we see today as Aaron was installed, and God says he is the priest. So God has them take the rods and Aaron's rod, and he says whoever's rod is bloomed in the morning, that will be the high priest. So, you know, if you read the story, you know that Aaron's room, his rod not only was a blossom, but it had almonds growing on it. And to God was signifying that he is the chosen one. So he was blessed. And so God ended the rebellion, and Aaron was installed as the high priest. So hopefully we are close to where we're going to be installed with the high priest in Yeshua. Shabbat shalom.
Since the Torah is already closed, we won't sing Vezot, but we will sing It's Chaim He. So let's all stand and we'll sing Chaim He. The word of God is a tree of life to us, amen. And that's what this song says, is that the word of God is a tree of life and wisdom and brings us the ability to walk through life. So we should honor and sow that word of God into us. Amen. How many of you will pledge to be more diligent about sowing his word into your life? I mean, that's why we focus on the Torah, because the word of God is life to us. To her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Hallelujah. The Lord says to renew our days. He also says to renew our minds. And so let's return to him. He says, cause us to be turned to you, O Lord. Let us turn back to the Lord. Every day we need to consciously make that effort to turn back to him, to look to him, and he will bless us, amen, and hold us up in this life. And you may be seated.
You can do announcements.
Yeah, I was going to do it on the phone.
Okay.
Unless you want to get somebody to copy it. You want to do that?
Whatever.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. And this is a... Our Yehuda is an arm of For Zion's Sake Ministry. So if you're on a For Zion's Sake page, our Yehuda Messianic Congregation is part of For Zion's Sake. So we're glad that you're joining with us. And we want you to invite your friends to come and join you as you worship him. And we take this time to bring him a blessing. And in so doing, we will be blessed. We must give that priority. There's so many things pulling at us and tugging at us, but it's so important to give God the priority. I want to just shout out a thank you to everyone who came Thursday to help with the newsletter. Hallelujah. Rabbi put his heart and soul into this newsletter. We thought it was just going to be an update, and then it became an epistle. And it really is. I'm going to encourage you to share this. It will, I believe it's posted on the website now. It should be posted on the website. So you can download it there. You can probably share it. But once this goes out on email, it's very easy to share via email, and I'm going to be sending that out probably today. At the very bottom of the email, you will see a place where it says share with your friends, and all you've got to do is type in their email and send it to them, and they can open it up and read it. It's very easy to read. It's in a PDF form, and you can copy it. You can print it out, too, if you want to. But share this message. This is a prophetic message about the divided states of America and what God is doing in these very tumultuous times. And, you know, the more we watch the news, the more disturbed and concerned we can be about our country. And we should be. We should be praying. We need to be praying for our president, because the hordes of hell have been released against him and against God's purposes and against God's people. in this country. It's been released, and it will not be contained. But this message will help you understand what's going on and also give you some understanding of how God wants us to prepare and what he wants us to do, because we always have hope in the Lord, right? We always have hope. So that we, and God always has a plan. So even though the devil, the enemy, has a plan, and he is very crafty in his plans, I will tell you, but God has is more wise, and his ways are patient, and but his ways are righteous. Righteous means that he does the right thing. His justice is unprecedented. His justice is the ultimate of all justice in the universe. Okay, you can count on that. You can bank on it. But the enemy, these hordes of hell that have come out, have a system of justice, and it's not God's. It's not God's justice. It's not founded on the love of God, and it's founded on a fear and intimidation. So read this newsletter, and thank you for all who came. We had people. I'm not even sure I know some of the people who came this week to help, because they were listed, the names. Joe and I had finished. We worked all night one night to get it edited and ready to go, and then you guys picked up the ball and ran with it. I think Carolyn was there, and Aja, and who were. Did you meet some of the new people, Carolyn? Oh, yeah. There was Carolyn says they were social distancing, so she didn't really get to meet. But did you have a good time? Good, good. And you, Aja? Good. Well, thank you very much for helping to get that out. And we want, as I have mentioned before, those of you who are in this local area and consider you part of our, and you consider yourself part of our little ministry, online ministry, or however you're connecting in, we do invite you to come and participate in the newsletter. That's usually once a month, and Miss Vicki, our secretary, will reach out to you. All you need to do is leave a message on our phone, 423. I'm sorry, I always think we're on the wrong side. It's 276. We're on the Virginia side. 276-644-1678. 276-644-1678. Leave a message, and Vicki will call you back and let you know when we need the help. All right. So other than that,
I have something I want to say.
I will pass it back to the rabbi.
Okay. Shalom, everybody. Shabbat shalom. Can somebody clean off this pulpit? Okay. I want to tell you a quick story. I have an aunt. I had an aunt. She passed away, and she was 2 years younger than my mother. Her name was Ethel, and Ethel was healthy. She rode bikes. She played tennis into her 70s. She swam in the ocean, and my boys will get it. It's okay. Josh, would you just come and get that, please? She swam in the ocean. She was healthy. She ate healthy. She ate salmon and vegetables, and thank you, son, and fresh fish. And they lived on the Cape Cod. They lived by the ocean. And she was on a blood thinner. And she stopped taking her blood thinner because she thought, I don't need this. Are you hearing me? She stopped taking her blood thinner because she thought, I don't need this blood thinner. And she had a stroke. And she had a very severe stroke, so bad that for many months her husband had to change her diapers and had to carry her and bathe her. My Uncle Stan, now he was a very strong man. He used to run 5 miles a day into his 50s and maybe even 60s. He would ride his bike in his 60s and 70s, 100 miles. I mean, he was very healthy. He played tennis. He was just, was Stan a healthy guy?
Yes.
He was a very healthy guy. But what God was preparing him for was that at the end of his life, he was going to have to lift his wife and take her to the bath. And he was going to have to carry her and tip her over and change her diaper and dress her like a 130-pound dolly. Okay? And the reason she had a stroke is because she didn't obey the one order that the doctor gave her, which was take your blood thinner. Take your blood thinner. When King David was looking down on the roof and he saw Bathsheba, and he liked what he saw, and you know the rest of the story. Well, Nathan, after he sent off, he liked Bathsheba so much, he sent her husband to be killed. He told the soldiers to pull back. He said, send Uzziah out into the front line, and then have all the other soldiers pull back, he told his general, and leave him there. And they killed him. The enemy killed him in battle. Why did he kill him? So that he could justify in his own mind, everybody say in his own mind, justify in his own mind taking the man's wife. So what did Nathan, the prophet, everybody say Nathan the prophet.
Nathan the prophet.
Nathan the prophet, who was a peer, and you should never correct anybody. I learned this lesson a long time ago. I learned never to correct my rabbi or my leaders, and I've had many leaders. You shouldn't correct your boss. You shouldn't correct. If somebody's above you in a hierarchy or you have an elder, you shouldn't correct them. You should pray for them. If they're wrong and you know they're wrong, you should pray for them. And take it. If they give you a word you don't like, if they speak something to you that you don't agree with, take it, go home and pray for them. And the Bible says, it says we are blessed, I think it's in Peter, 1st or 2nd Peter, it says anybody can bless somebody who says good things, but how many of us can, he says bear up under harsh authority. Bear up under harsh authority, it says. And this finds favor with God. When you bear up under harsh authority, and Harriet Tubman did this. She was a slave, and she had a terrible, very evil master. And she wrote in her book, she said that she prayed for her master, and she prayed for his salvation. But she also prayed, she said, Lord, save my master. But if you're not going to save him, kill him. She really prayed that. I mean, she used to pray, Lord, save my master, but if you're not going to save him, then take him. You know, take him out. If he's not going to humble himself and come to you, but she didn't rebel against her master, okay? So what's my point? My point is, and to say all this, and my aunt with a stroke who didn't take her medicine, somebody at a little bakery less than a mile away from here has been diagnosed with COVID-19. Okay? Somebody in a bakery less a mile away from here has been diagnosed with COVID-19. A young person. All right? It's still out there. It's not gone. The authorities have given us guidelines to protect ourselves, and one of those guidelines is to wear a mask. I have only asked a few things of people, and that is that you wash your hands regularly when you come in here. You still see the signs. It's right there. As you come in the door, it's on the door. The sign's on the door. Just wash your hands, social distance, and wear a mask. That's all I'm asking. I said, and the people on stage don't have to. We can't wear a mask because we're speaking, you know, but we're also trying to keep a distance, and you can sit as far back away from me if you want. But even if you think you don't, it's like my aunt. She didn't think she was going to have a stroke. Amen? She never thought she would have a stroke. She was 77, 76 years old. She never didn't think, she was healthy as a horse. Well, this won't, nobody ever thinks it can happen to them, right? Nobody ever thinks, oh, it's not going to happen to me. I won't have a heart attack. I won't have cancer. I won't have a stroke until it does. And then when it happens to people, God forbid it should happen to you, But when it does happen, it's that's it. You got to deal with it. I know that from 10 years of cancer. Once it happens, and you got to deal with it, and you got to go through it. So COVID-19 is not a cold. COVID-19 is not a virus. My friend Sue Samuel, who's a nurse in New Jersey, has seen this. This is a vicious SARS flu, SARS virus that has nothing to do with the seasonal flu. This has nothing to do. This is not the common cold. This thing can destroy your lungs. There's one person I heard about in the hospital the other day, young person in their 30s or 40s who had a bad case. They're still in the hospital. They got it in March. They're still in the hospital and may be in the hospital for up to a year. People don't understand how serious this COVID-19 is, that it can not only kill older people, it can kill anybody. It can kill anybody. And you really, if you don't understand it, if you think it's like the common cold, or if you think it's like the flu, you really need to research it and see what it's about. But I see a lot of people in this room without masks. And to protect each other, if a kid 1 mile away at a bakery, a very famous bakery, less than a mile from here, about a mile, has come down with this COVID-19, Anthony told me today, it's around, and I want to just urge you. I'm not going to lord it over you. I'm not going to go sit down. I'm not going to come out there and put a mask on your face. Okay, I'm going to leave it up to you, to your conscience. Okay, all of you who aren't wearing them, I'm going to leave it up to your conscience. But to know that when you wear one, you protect other people in case you have it. And you protect, I do believe you protect yourself as well. I do believe you protect yourself. Because why, I've been wearing them, you know, I've been wearing them on airplanes for 4 years, 5 years. And, you know, I've had an immune issue, low immunity, for 4 years, guys. I've had low immunity. I needed chemotherapy. Hear me. I needed chemotherapy in November of 2016. My immunity was so low. Look at me. I'm standing here. It's 2020. I needed chemotherapy since 2016. But do you know what? I didn't stop living. But you know, when I got on a plane, I wore a mask. Nobody told me. I didn't know Dr. Fauci. I didn't know anything about COVID-19. I just wore a mask. When I got on a plane, when I got on a bus, when I went in a group of people, in a room full of people, I wear a mask, whatever. I haven't had a cold. I haven't had a sore throat. I haven't had a stomach flu. I have social distance for 4 or 5 years now. I haven't had an ear infection. Worst thing I've had is a sinus infection. That's the worst infection, thank the Lord, I've had. Do you know, in 4 or 5 years, to have almost no immune system and to not have, that's glory to God. That's a miracle. To not have a cold, to not have a sore throat, to not have an earache, to not have a stomach flu, to not have the flu. And you know what it is? It's because he told me, you take care of yourself, and I'll take care of you. And that's my word to you. Shabbat shalom. That's not my message. That's just a word about wearing masks and not letting down your guard yet. It's not. It's. You know, it's not time to let down our guard yet. And you think you can't get it, and you think it won't hurt you, but it's killed. Well, according to Joe Biden, it's killed 150 million people in the United States. That's what he said. It's killed about, I don't know, 130,000, 140,000 people in the United States. You know, it hasn't killed 150 million. It's killed a lot of people, though. That's an awful lot of people. Amen? That's a lot of people. I know people, families, that have had it, people who have, either I know someone who's had it or a family who's had it. Raise your hand if you know somebody, who, either a family or someone who, you know, you're connected to somebody who's had COVID-19. If you, am I the only one in the room who's, who knows of anybody that has had it? Maybe it's because I travel, go to Florida and stuff. But it's out there, and I don't want you to get it, and I don't want you to spread it. Amen? I don't want you to get it, and I don't want you to spread it. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's continue on. Let's take up our tithes and offerings, and just be careful. That's all I'm telling you. And we're going to receive our tithes and offerings today. And if you're watching at home and you'd like to give, you can give online at our website, on PayPal, or with a credit card. If you're here, you know what to do. We have our box in the back of the room. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you that you for your goodness, for your blessings. Our cup overflows, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you meet the needs of this ministry and of the people in it, Lord, that you have blessed these people and that you meet their needs. We thank you, Lord, for those who've gotten new jobs in the middle of a virus. Lord, those who, you know, somebody here who has a whole new career that started in the middle of COVID-19. And, you know, we just give you the praise and the glory, Lord, for that. And we thank you that you bless the giver and you bless the gift 100-fold today, Lord. Bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. We love you and we thank you. And God bless you as you give. Again, you can give online at our website, through PayPal or a credit card. If you want to be receipted, please give us your address and your name. And if you wanted, last week I gave an offer for my prophetic teachings on the last president of the United States, and all the prophetic teachings I've given about the exodus, the coming exodus from America. And I said if you give us $50, but what I forgot to mention last week was if you want all that teaching set, of 4 CDs and then all the teachings in writing, I just need you to just message me. So if you gave, please just send me a message saying, Rabbi, I want that set. I gave $50 or more, and I want that set of teachings that you offered last week on the last president of the United States, and I'll send that to you. So please let me know and give me your address. Not so I can harass you. We only send out a newsletter every month and a half or so. We don't send out constant. We're not going to harass you with appeals and letters and tons of mail. We send out a letter about 10, 11 times a year. Just, you know, every month or so. Anyway, God bless you as you give. Shabbat Shalom. Waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. Put the organ on. How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? How long? calm. He set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. Many will see and fear. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. How long to sing this song? How long? Get a better instrument. To sing this song. How long? How long? How long? How long to sing this song? All right, we'll do it again.
Well, I don't think we're in the right key. I don't know what it is.
A, it's A, A and D. Waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. How long to sing this song? Do you have a different instrument? All right, praise the Lord. We used to do that song. We really did it well. I don't know what happened. It's a really simple song. Praise the Lord.
Thy God, He bringeth thee into a goodly land, a land flowing with milk and honey from His hand, a land of brooks and waters, fountains from the depths that spring up from thank you. praises to the Lord. Sing praises, all you people. Sing praises to the Lord. Adonai. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises, all you people. Sing praises to the Lord. Adonai. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises, all you people. Sing praises to the Lord. Adonai. Everybody stand up. Come on, let's put your hands together.
The Lord Adonai.
Sing praises to the Lord.
Sing praises, all you people.
Sing praises to the Lord Adonai.
Hallelujah. Adonai.
Hallelujah.
Adonai.
Hallelujah. Adonai. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Adonai.
Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The heavens declare His righteousness. The people see His glory. For You, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. You're exalted over all the earth. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad.
Hallelujah.
Our God reigns. It doesn't matter what happens.
Hallelujah. Isaiah said, "Ho, all you who want to come and buy, come and eat, and come for free," he says. "Come for free. Come and drink. Come and buy bread that costs no water, costs no money. The Lord's richness is free for all who wish to come into his presence and to receive him." Amen. And isn't his kingdom rich? Isn't it full of food? Hallelujah. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I let my words be filled. Jesus, I am so in love with
today? Are you in love with him? He's in love with you. Hallelujah. He's in love with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're in love with me. Hallelujah. To taste, drink from the waters of life is to taste the love of the Lord. To drink from the waters of life is to experience, to taste the love of God. Amen. If you've tasted the love of God, if you ever tasted it, there's nothing like it. Amen. There's no substitute. Amen. There's no equal. There's no Splenda. There's no substitute for the sweetness of the love of God. Amen? Gloria.
You got to eat the honey and the sugar.
That's right. That's right. You got to eat the honey. Thank you, Lord. And if you've never tasted it, all you have to do is say, God, I want to taste that sweetness. I want to taste your love. I want to taste the sweetness of the love of God. Help me. Let me taste it, Lord. And you will. I promise you. Are we going to go to the Lord's table? Okay. If you would turn my headset on, please. We're going to go to the Lord's table. And we've been doing it a little differently lately because we can't come together. We can't come together, so we bought these. Can somebody fix this camera, please? We bought these communion, individualized, sanitized, COVID-19 free communion cups. much closer, Josh. But the rug, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. There you go. All right, because we want people to see these sanitized, kosher, COVID-19 free communion cups, right? And if the camera's too far back, they won't be able to see it. Would you, Deborah? Anthony, can you see the cup? You can see it. It's pretty good. He's way back there. Carolyn, can you see it? She can see the cup. All right. It actually has a little wafer in it. Now, if you'd like to join us, just get yourself some of your own fruit of the vine, whatever you like, Welch's, store brand, whatever, Manischewitz, Carmel, whatever type of fruit of the vine you like, freight train. That was a joke. Wild Irish Rose. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, no. Get your own and get some crackers or some matzah, and we'll bless it, and we will take the Lord's Supper, the Shulchan Adonai. We'll go to the table of the Lord together. Is there grape juice in there for me? No? Just looks good? Yeah. All right, so could somebody hand that, Don? Would you hand that to me? So I'll bless it from up here. It's better than this. It looks better anyway, visually, and the plate too. Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Thank you. Could you turn the ear down a little bit? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. Luke 22 tells us that he sent his disciples to go and prepare the Passover. And they did as he said, and they prepared the Passover. So his last supper was a Passover meal. And we Jews know that the third cup of the Passover meal is called the cup of redemption. And he took that cup taken after the meal, which every person who does Passover today, right, takes the cup after the meal. And he said of that cup of redemption, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Then he took the middle layer of three pieces of matzah, we call he took the middle layer, we call it the afikomen, and he broke it into small pieces, and which we do and today, even today, at every Passover Seder in the world that's done traditionally, the host will break the afikomen, the middle layer of three pieces, into little pieces, and he'll pass them around to everybody at the table, and everybody takes a little piece, and they drink it along with the third cup, the cup of redemption. Amen. And he said, he spoke of this bread. He said, "This is my body given for you." He didn't say it in English, but he said it in Hebrew. "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, how do we know he did it in Hebrew? Because he was in Jerusalem. They didn't speak anything but Hebrew in Jerusalem, or Greek. They spoke Hebrew and Greek down in Jerusalem. So he would have been speaking Hebrew. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. As often as you do it. And so when we come to his table, this is the table of grace. Receive grace. By his stripes we are healed. This is a table of healing. This is a table of forgiveness, because through what he did for us on the cross, we receive forgiveness of our sins. This is a table of love. This is the love of God. This is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So this is a table of love. So let's receive his love, his grace, his healing, and his salvation, his forgiveness when we come today. Amen. Now, if you don't know the Lord and you're going to take this at home, all you have to do, if you'd like to meet the Messiah, just say, "Rabbi Joe," say where, right where you are. You might be in a parking lot. You may have just gotten your coffee somewhere or getting lunch, and you're sitting in your car. Maybe you're in your house, or you're even sitting in your backyard, maybe just chilling out, watching this, and you'd like to meet the Messiah. It's very simple to meet the Messiah. You just have to ask him. Just pray with me. Dear God, just repeat what I say. Dear God, I confess that I have blown it in my life. Lord, I've made mistakes. But Lord, I hear that you can fix my mistakes, that you can turn things around in my life, that you can turn the bad into good. So Lord, I ask that you'd come into my life, that you'd forgive my mistakes. I've broken your law, and I need you to forgive me. Lord, turn my life around. Straighten out the crooked places. Raise up the low places. Lower the high places. And fix things. Help me, Lord. Wash me. Come into my heart. Yeshua, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you invited Yeshua to forgive your sins, to forgive your mistakes, to change your life, to turn your mess. You know, my cat came in today and he made a mess, and we cleaned it up for him. And that's what Yeshua does for us. He cleans up our mess. Amen. And that's what he does. He takes our mess and he turns it into something beautiful. Hallelujah. He'll do it for you if you trust him. If you'll trust him. And at this point, let's go to the Lord's table and let's partake. L'chaim, to life. And if you come in person, you could actually get one of these little sanitized, COVID-free communion cups, wafer included. Thank you, Lord. Now, I can't get to my wafer here. Anybody ever see Monty Python, The Meaning of Life? And there's this guy. He's huge. He weighs like 800 pounds. And he's in a restaurant. And they're serving him. He's ordering everything on the menu. And he eats everything, and I won't say, it's kind of gross actually, but it gets to the very end of the meal, and the waiter brings him a mint, just like a chocolate mint, you know, at the end of the meal. And the guy says, I can't eat another thing. He says, I'm stuffed. I can't eat another bite. And the waiter says, but sir, it is only wafer thin. It is only wafer thin. He says, I can't eat another thing. I'm stuffed. But it is only wafer thin. He says, okay. So he eats it. And you hear this rumbling, and he explodes. Hallelujah. No exploding here. All right. Praise God. You having a good time?
Yes.
All right. I hope so. I got my sign here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's move on with the Word of God. By the way, I want to mention our new newsletter. We just put it out this week. It's called The Divided States of America. 4.5 years ago, I interpreted a prophecy from Daniel that I believe the Lord revealed to me. And I said that the United States... Josh, could you get my chair, please? I said the United States would be divided into 4 separate nations and that we would go through a time. 18 years ago, I predicted there would be a time of great distress in this country and that people would be fleeing the cities and they would be moving into the heartland, coming to places like where we live, to get away from the cities. And do you know that that's actually happening right now? My realtor told me that people have been buying houses. She's a top realtor in the area. She owns a big company. And she told me that people are calling her and her staff, her realtors, and buying houses from cities. They're just calling and buying houses unseen, sight unseen, just pictures. And just coming, buying and moving down here and moving to, you know, North Carolina, to the country, to... You know, like out near Boone, and moving away from the cities. They're coming out of Atlanta. They're coming out of Washington. They're coming out of Los Angeles. They're coming out of, they're moving out of San Francisco and Boston and all over, cities all over the country. They're getting out. They're people are just fed up with the taxes, with the whole thing with the police. People are fearful for their lives, for their property, for their families, for their businesses. And they're just saying that, the heck with it, I'm cashing out. Real estate values are dropping in New York City tremendously. And in cities across the country, real estate's dropping, the tax base. And I predicted it. And so I wrote a newsletter, and we published it this week, called The Divided States of America. And I explain in this newsletter about the breaking up of this country that I believe is coming in the next 2 to 4, probably in the next 3 to 4 years, I see it coming, and explain how and why in this newsletter. And you can get this by going to our website. You can sign up for our newsletter, and you can receive it by mail or by email. Just go onto our website. It's right there on the Facebook. You can see the website. You can sign up for the Zion letter. Again, I only send it out about once every month and a half, 6 weeks. We send it out. And I wrote this one 3 times. I worked so hard since last Friday. I just came home from Florida last Friday, found out our dog had cancer, wrote 3 newsletters because I wasn't happy with the first two. Actually, I will say I had been writing them started writing them, and I just wasn't happy, and I finally wrote the final version this week. I was the one that I was satisfied with, and I had almost given up and said, I'm not going to write it. It was that hard. Unless God gives it to me, unless he speaks to me, I can't do it. But when he downloads, he downloads. And I mean, did anybody read it? Did you like it? I mean, did it minister to you? Praise the Lord. Carolyn says it ministered to her. She read it. So you can get this this newsletter, The Divided States of America. Call our office. You can order. We'll send you color copies, or you can print it. You can probably see it online at our website. But if you want to get it sent to you, just sign up at our website, okay? And let's go on with the message. Can somebody get my big chair? Oh, I got the little chair. If we could switch them out, please. Thank you. All right, today's message is overcoming the mob in Messiah. Overcoming the mob in Messiah. Now, today's Torah portion is Korach. Everybody say Korach. Korach. And in English, we say Korah. Korah's rebellion, right? You all heard of Korah's rebellion. And mob rule is not something new, okay? Ever since Babel in the Bible, I mean, probably before that, but ever since the Tower of Babel, we've seen mob rule in the Bible. That's in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, where all the people of the earth got together and said, let us build a tower, and we'll be like God. You know, they were rebelling against God. So God said, come, let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come, let us go down. Elohim said, come, let us go down and see what they're doing. And God, what he did is he Babel means confusion. He confused their voices, so their tongues. So all the peoples were given languages, and they didn't understand each other anymore. Well, that's changing again, because now the world has come, the confusion has gone away where we don't understand each other, and everybody's starting to understand, be able to communicate. If I don't understand you on social media, all I have to do is plug in a program, and I can understand what you're saying. Even if I don't know your language, I can communicate with you now. And we've made a way that we now, the world is communicating with each other. We're rebuilding the Tower of Babel is what we're doing. And the goal of this movement is, one part of it is to overthrow God, that to do away with church, to do away with God, to do away with synagogue, to do away with anything to do with God is the goal. That God is hated by these people because they have their own, you know, they are God. Amen. They believe that their philosophy, their ideology is their God. Their ideology is their God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Let's thank you for your anointing, that you come in power and anoint our ears to hear, open our ears, loosen our necks, and help us to open our hearts to receive what you have to say to us. Lord, in the name of Yeshua, anoint us to receive the word and to overcome the mob rule by the power of God. Help us to overcome and to learn from this message. In Yeshua's name, we bind the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. If somebody could come up and when Carol says it's right and turn off the bass amp, that would be great. Is it ready to be turned off? Okay. Isaac, would you turn off the bass amp, honey? Thank you. Okay, so overcoming mob rule. So we see mob rule. Now, and today, let's turn to Numbers chapter 16. Anthony talked about it earlier, in the Korah's rebellion. This is a great example of overcoming mob rule with God. Not with guns, not with an army, but with just two guys, Moses and Aaron, falling on their faces before God, and they overcome the mob. This is incredible. I mean, we're looking at mobs around the country. Today I was listening to the news as I drove in here this morning, and they were talking to the general who's in charge of the 400 or so National Guard in Washington, D.C. this morning, today, to protect monuments because they're tearing down statues. Now, I heard a guy interviewed on TV last night from a newspaper called The Federalist, and this man who on TV who was interviewed said He said there's, first, they'll tear down the statues. And second, is it cold? Are you guys cold? Okay. We can turn it. Somebody can turn the heat up a little bit. I don't want people to freeze. I was hot. It's because I'm working so hard up here, you know. But anyway, just turn it up a degree or two, okay, Isaac? I got these boys working. I'm going to have to give them a bonus. Amen? I have to give them an extra hot dog. All right, seriously. So I was coming in this morning, and I was listening to the news, and there was this general being interviewed, and I heard a guy interviewed last night from the newspaper called The Federalist, and he said, first they tear down the monuments, then they start killing people, and then they attempt to take over the government. They attempt to take over the government. Who are these people? Well, we'll look at that, but there's many, multiple groups. Now, and you look in history, as to groups that have tried to take over. And in Germany, for example, in Nazi Germany, in the 1930s and the late 1920s, you had the Nazi Party was started, I think, in 1921. And Hitler joined it. He didn't start it. There was a guy named Anton something or other. Anton, I can't remember his last name. He started it. Hitler became a speaker for the Nazi Party, and he was so charismatic, and he drew bigger crowds. He eventually took over the party. Hitler took over the Nazi Party. He did not start the Nazi Party. And you had the communists at the same time as Hitler. Then you had the Kaiser. Everybody say the Kaiser. The Kaiser was like a Caesar. The Kaiser is a German word for Caesar, like an emperor. He was the emperor of Germany. And you had the parliament. There was the Reichstag was the parliament. And Hitler eventually burned down, I think it was 1933, where Hitler set the Reichstag on fire. Am I correct, Anthony? He burned down the Reichstag, which was like the Senate. Could you imagine somebody burning down the capital, the U.S. Capitol, and taking the senators and the congressmen prisoner and making them essentially bow to Hitler? Do you notice that there right now there's these groups that are making people, the big thing is making people bow. So like police officers are being, I saw some during the riots where they would take police officers and say, we'll back off or we'll stop if you bow to us. And some of these police officers, I saw like in Minneapolis, they bow down before these, you know, criminals. Before these criminals, they bow down before. Who bows down before people? You know, especially law enforcement. When your people are breaking the law, why would you bow down to any human being? I mean, give me a break. You know, and they didn't stop. Bowing down. They're bowing down. It's not stopping things, okay? So let's read here in Korah's rebellion. Now Korah, chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, by the way, he was a priest. He was a son of Levi. Levi was the father of the priesthood, the Levites. The son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, on the son of Peleth, son of Reuben, took action. And they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. Okay. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far, far enough, for all the congregation are holy, and we're all holy. You're not better than us. We're all holy." Amen? Okay. "Every one of them and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. Wow. Powerful. He fell on his face in prayer to God. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself, even the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to himself." Now, here's a really interesting thing. We had a crowd of 250 leaders, high leaders, Moses led, they say, some 2 million people out of Egypt, roughly. The estimates that I've heard, 600,000 men, and then if you figure women and children, they estimated at about 2 million people. And these are 250 of the highest leaders of the whole bunch coming against Moses and Aaron, right? And so what does Moses do? He falls on his face and he gets wisdom. And I've learned this in operating a business. I've learned this. When you get attacked verbally, when you get attacked and somebody says to you, like I had a guy one time that worked for me in my restaurant, and I had a woman manager. And he came to me, and he was a very important person. He was my baker, okay? He was my bread maker, my bagel maker. And I needed him. I mean, he was the only bagel maker I had, and he was excellent. He was a great bagel maker. His name was John. And so John said to me one day, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay, let's go in my office. And he said, I won't work for a woman manager. I will not work for Susan. I will not work for a woman, he said. And I thought about it, and I thought, okay, so is he going to quit? Should I fire him? What should I do? How do I handle this situation? And I said, can you give me 24 hours to just chew on this, what to do? And I didn't give him, I didn't fire him, I didn't ask for his resignation. I needed a bagel maker. He was a good one. I didn't want to lose him, but I needed to come up with a solution to the situation. Not every situation requires separation. Not every bad situation requires, not every bad marriage requires a divorce. Amen? Sometimes there's a way out and you just have to find it. So I went home, everybody say take a step back. I took a step back. And I went home and I prayed that night. And I said, God, what do I do with this guy? And God said, tell him you'll be his manager. Let him report to you. Tell him he doesn't have to report to the woman, to Susan. You know, tell him if he feels, you know, a lot of men struggle with women managers, women bosses. I don't care about political correctness and all that. I'm sure there are still men today that struggle with women bosses. All across the country and around the world. I'm sure there's men who have issues. They probably keep it to themselves. Maybe they don't. Maybe they get fired. But I'm sure there are men who struggle with female bosses. And I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I've had women bosses. I have no problem with a woman boss. I've had several. This guy had a problem. But what I said, so God told me to tell him, okay, you be his manager. It put more work on my plate, but you know, it saved me work. You know what work it saved me? It made me not have to be the bagel maker, which is a very hard job. A bagel maker has to lift 50-pound bags of flour and pour the flour into a mixer that can handle 50 pounds of flour. Then he has to fill it with all the ingredients and mix the ingredients. Then he has, once he makes the dough, he has to lift the dough out in chunks that weigh about 10, 15 pounds, slice them, and then stretch them. It takes brute strength. It takes real strength to stretch that dough and put it into a machine which will go through the machine and cut it into pieces that will go through a twirly thing and spin it into a bagel. That's how a bagel is made. And so I had made plenty of bagels in my day, and I didn't need an extra job. I was the owner of the store. So I said to him, would you stay on and make bagels if I'll be your manager and you can report to me? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. So he stayed another 9 months, and I was his manager. And you know what he ended up doing at the end of it? He said to Susan, he said, I'm sorry about what I did. You're a great manager, and I would follow you. I'll be glad to follow you anytime. He had repented. He changed his heart. God changed his heart during those 9 months, and he accepted her, and he grew up. Everybody say he grew up. He grew up. So what did Moses do here? Moses took a step back and he said, "Give me 24 hours, Korah." He prayed first. So first we have the rebellion, and they're accusing Moses and Aaron of exalting themselves. I don't think Moses was exalting himself. God picked him, right? God picked him to be the leader. God picked me to be the leader here. I didn't exalt myself. I started this ministry 21 years ago. I filled out the paperwork. I got the 501c3. God gave me the name for Zion's Sake Ministries and Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. I bought the building. I signed the papers. I raised the money. You know, I made the pleas and the appeals for people to give to the building fund. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying these are things God had me do. I just did my job. That's what Moses was doing his job, right? Okay, but these guys rebelled against Moses. They wanted to take this power. They wanted to take the power that wasn't theirs. And instead of getting in their face and saying, you idiots or you morons, you know, Moses didn't do that. He didn't pick a fight, did he? Hello? He didn't pick a fight, did he? He got down on his face and humbled himself and asked God what to do. And God told him, doesn't say he asked, but we know what he did. He did, he prayed. And God said, went back to him and said, "Give me 24 hours, would you?" And the guy said, "Okay." And verse 5, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself. Even the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to himself. Do this," Moses said. "Take censers for yourself, lamps, little oil lamps, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them. Lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation?" Isn't it enough that God made you leaders? That you need to take the whole breakfast sandwich? I mean, that you need to eat the whole enchilada? You have to be the big cheese? Isn't it enough that you're one of the 250 leaders, like Congress, of the whole country, of the nation of Israel? You're one of the 250 highest leaders of the whole country. It's not enough for you. You have to be president. Sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? That's kind of what's going on right now. It's not enough for them just to have the Congress. It's not enough for them. They want more power. They want all the power, don't they? Okay? Even some of the Republicans. It's not just Democrats. All right, let's read on here. My pillow fell here, so I'll push it back over here. All right. So let's read on. Let's see what happens here. So verse 8, "Then Moses said to Korah, 'Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near Korah and all you and your brothers of Levi, priests, with you, and are you seeking for the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him?'" See, right there, the mob. You see the mob? The mob rebelled against the leader. 250 people. It's a mob. If 250 people showed up at your doorstep wanting to take your house and wanting to kick you out and take all your property, would you try to fight them or would you pray? Okay. You'd pray. Well, fighting wouldn't get you anywhere except hogtied and beaten. It may be worse. But And that he has brought you near Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi. I have a nephew who's a Marine, did two tours of duty in Iraq, and he said, if some group of
Black Ops, Special Forces, or SWAT team, SWAT team 10-12 showed up at his house. He's a trained killer. He's a 6'5" U.S. Marine with 2 tours of duty in Iraq. Said if a SWAT team showed up at his house armed and ready to take the house, he'd surrender. He wouldn't try to fight them. And that's wisdom. That's somebody who knows, hey, it's just me versus 10 or 15 police officers. I'm not going to win here. The odds are against me. Some knuckleheads would fight them, and they'd end up getting shot, probably, dragged out in a stretcher. But that's what training does for you. It teaches you what's the right... It shows you whether you can win or lose. All right, let's go on here. So, verse 11, therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him? Verse 12, then Moses sent a summons to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come up. Is it not enough that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness, but you would not also lord it over us? Indeed, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. They were making excuses to Moses. Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, do not regard their offering. I have not taken a single donkey from them, nor have I done harm to any of them. Moses said to Korah, you and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they along with Aaron. Each of you take his fire pan and put incense on it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 fire pans. Also you and Aaron shall each bring his fire pan. So they each took his own censer and put fire on it and laid incense on it, and they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Thus Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. But they fell on their faces and said, O God, God of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, will you be angry with the entire congregation? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses arose and went to Dathan and Abiram with the elders of Israel following him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing that belongs to them, or you will be swept away for all their sin. So they got back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the doorway of their tents along with their wives and their sons and their little ones. Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds, for this is not my doing. If these men die, the death of all men, if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, into hell, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. Verse 31, as he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to hell, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled for their outcry, for they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. They died too, the leaders. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he shall take up the censers out of the midst of the blaze, for they are holy, and you shall scatter the burning coals abroad. As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered sheets for a plating of the altar, since they did not present them before the Lord. They are holy, and they shall be for a sign to the sons of Israel. So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which the men who had burned had offered, and they hammered them out as a plating for the altar, as a reminder to the sons of Israel that no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, so that he will not come like Korah and his company, just as the Lord had spoken to him through Moses." Okay, I'm going to stop right there. "But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, 'You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people.' It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Get away from among this congregation, that it may consume them instantly.' Then they fell on their faces to pray. Moses said to Aaron, 'Take your censer and put fire in it from the altar, and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for the wrath of God has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun.'" The plague has begun. What you're seeing right now in America is a rebellion against the authority of God. And what's happening in this rebellion against the authority of God through President Donald J. Trump, and this is not a political matter. This is a matter of office. The office of the president is an anointed office. King Cyrus, who was a pagan king of Persia, in Isaiah 45, the Bible says he was the Lord's anointed. King Saul, who's a wicked man who practiced witchcraft and all sorts of evil things, David was afraid to touch him. King David would not touch Saul or lay hands on him. He called him the Lord's anointed. And he told his men, "Do not touch the Lord's anointed, or God will strike you down." And Psalm 105 says, "Touch not my prophets and do no harm. Touch not my anointed and do no harm to my prophets," God's word says. "Do not touch not my anointed and do no harm to my prophets." Well, the president of the United States, friends, Barack Obama was the Lord's anointed too. And so was Bill Clinton, should you care to accept it. So was George Bush. So was Jimmy Carter. And so was Richard Nixon when they were president. When God chooses, Daniel 2 says that God raises up kings or leaders and he brings them down. God says in Romans 13, obey the governing authorities that it may go well with you. Obey them because they are ministers of good if you do good. But if you do evil, they're ministers of the sword to bring justice. Okay? No good is going to come of this rebellion that's happening in this country right now. I don't care who these people rebelling are, tearing down statues, tearing down our history. No good is going to come from this. Do you understand? And what is coming is the same thing that came in this time of Moses. There's nothing new under the sun. Plague is coming. Plague came to us because of the rebellion towards our president, and plague is coming back to the nation because of rebellion to our president. Just like Moses. No, President Trump isn't Moses, but he is our anointed leader from God. I don't care if you like him. I don't care if you like his cologne. I don't care if you hate his red ties. I don't care if you hate his red hair. I don't care if you hate his comments. A ruler is a ruler, and a ruler can say what he wants. And God, he has to answer to God, not you. He'll have to stand before God, just like every one of you and me will have to stand before God for our actions and our deeds. If you want to know where the plague came from, it's right here in Numbers chapter 15 and 16. The plague came because the people rose up against the leader that God had chosen. Yes. And not, you know who it was? It was like Congress. The 250 top leaders rose up against, out of 2 million people. And Moses said to them, is it not enough that God sets you apart to be rulers with me over these people, all these hundreds and hundreds of thousands, millions of people? Is that not enough power for you? No, it wasn't enough power. They wanted all the power. Does that sound familiar? There was another instance of mob rule, thank you. There was another instance of mob rule in Mark chapter 15. Let's look there for a second. I'm not going to read too many more scriptures. My message is mostly over. Mark 15, verse 1. Here's the New Testament example of mob rule. Mark 15, verse 1. Early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council immediately held a consultation, and binding Yeshua, Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "It is as you say." He's the Lord's anointed. He's the king of the Jews. He is the Lord's anointed. What is anointed in Hebrew? Mashiach. What is the English word for Mashiach? Messiah. He is the Lord's Messiah. And they're basically asking him, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the king of the Jews?" "It is as you say." "I am the Messiah," he was saying. "I am the king of the Jews." Both king and Messiah. Praise God. Okay? And so the chief priests, who were the people that opposed Moses? Were they priests? Yeah. Yeah, just like senators and congressmen. They were the leaders of the people. Just in a more spiritual sense, supposedly. They were rulers, but these people were political. These priests, they were political creatures. They dealt with, you know, they dealt with money, they dealt with laws. Just like, what does Congress do? They make laws. What does Congress do? They appropriate funds, money. They decide where your tax money goes. If it's going to go to a school, if it's going to go to build a bridge, if it's going to go to health care, if it's going to go to Planned Parenthood, that's what Congress does. That's what these guys did. They passed laws. They decided where the money went and took it. Often they like to take it for themselves. Then Pilate questioned him, saying, "Do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" Verse 5, but Yeshua made no further answer. So Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them any one prisoner whom they requested. The man named Barabbas has been in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. So Barabbas was a murderer. And the crowd went up and began asking him to do as he had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate answered them, saying, "You want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. So these are supposedly God's priests asking Pontius Pilate, the Roman prefect, the Roman governor, to release a murderer. Does that sound familiar? Yes. Today, what do they want to do? They want to release the murderers. They want to release the killers. They want to release the violent criminals out of the prisons. Yes. Not just one. They want to release them all. And who wants to do it? The leaders, the Congress, the Sanhedrin of this day. The Congress of that day was the Sanhedrin, was the priests, the Levites and the priests were the Congress of ancient Israel. It's the same things going on today. They want to release the prisoners under the guise of, we want to protect them from COVID-19. Yes, right. Okay. So let's read on. So they let a murderer out. So the crowd went up, verse 28, began asking him to do as he had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that, I read that, verse 11, but the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them. Answering them again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" But Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they shouted all the more. They became gnashing their teeth, just like you see the people standing in front of the police, carrying their shields, cussing at the police, shouting at them, screaming at them, throwing rocks and bottles of urine and Molotov cocktails and bricks and stones and bats and pushing the police. I saw one video of a protest, a rioter, not a protester, pushing a police officer's shield into its face, into his head. Over and over and over again, this rioter was pushing the man's shield into his face and his head. And the officer was taking it. They've been told to stand down. They've been told to use the maximum restraint and not fight back unless absolutely necessary. They're not allowed to defend themselves. It's appalling to me. When you allow a city like Seattle, where there's been two murders in the city, they created a new country called CHOP. By the way, my article, which I just wrote, The Divided States of America, talks about the division of America into four countries, which I predicted 4.5 years ago that America would be divided into four separate nations. And I said it would happen within 7 or 8 years. I said this in February of 2016. We're more than halfway there. And you can see it happening. They're trying to set up a new country in Washington, D.C. Not only that, they're trying to make Washington, D.C. a state, the 51st state. There's a movement, a strong one. Right now, it's in the news. They're trying to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. Well, I doubt that's going to happen. But I do think America will be divided into four weaker nations. And there's a lot of implications, which I explain. I don't have time. I talked about it last week. So if you watch my message online, go to my website. You can watch my message about America being divided last week. I talked all about it. And you can get the details online, but I'm not going to talk about it today. Okay, so Mark 15, crucify him, they said. The crowd went, they're so angry. And you see the same anger today. Yes. You see the same anger. Now, I'm not saying there's peaceful protesters, but you know what happens to the peaceful protesters? They get thrown under the bus. Well, that's the figure of speech. Their voice gets drowned out by the mob. And that's what happened in Nazi Germany. You had communists who wanted the goal of communism. Okay, Karl Marx and a guy named Friedrich Engels wrote a book called The Communist Manifesto sometime in the 1800s. Okay? And the bottom line of The Communist Manifesto is the violent takeover of capitalism, of the capitalist system. The conclusion of the Communist Manifesto is the violent takeover of the capitalist system. Okay? That's what they're doing. You are witnessing in America an attempt at the violent takeover of the capitalist system. Now, mob rule is not new. Go back to the Tower of Babel, as I said. Sodom and Gomorrah. Mob shows up at Lot's house. Lot's got the gods in his visiting his house. Two men called God, called the Lord. Three men called the Lord showed up at Abraham's tent in Genesis 18. And two of the men called the Lord went down and said, I think I'll go down and take a look for myself. We'll go down and take a look for ourselves. Two of the three men called the Lord. One stayed with Abraham, and the other two went down. And the Lord said, "I think I'll go down and take a look and see what's going on." There were three men, all called the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know, just a thought. You know, who are these three men called the Lord? Read it for yourself. Read Genesis 18. Genesis 18 and 19. Read it. But anyway, so two men called the Lord spent the night at Lot's house, and the people of the city of Sodom wanted to have gay sex with these men. And they wanted to have gay sex. They knocked on Lot's door and said, send these men out so we can have relations with them. And it was a mob. It was a mob of people. And they were pushing in the door. They were pushing in Lot's door. And so the two men called the Lord, or say the two men called the Lord, came to the door. They said, let us help you there, Lot. You know, let us take care of things here. And they smote all the mob with blindness. The whole mob, they smote them with blindness. So they couldn't see. So they were wandering around as blind men with their hands. They didn't know where they were. Those two men called the Lord stopped the mob pretty quick. If God wants, that's one point I want to make. If God wants to stop the mob, he can stop it real fast. Okay? But God destroyed the city. You know the story. He took out Lot, took his wife and his two daughters. His two daughters were engaged to be married. Lot invited the fiancés. They said they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay. So Lot left the city with his two daughters and his wife. His wife looked back. She was turned into a pillar of salt, and she died. That was the end of her. And Lot ended up with his two daughters. And I won't go on to the rest of that story. But that's what happened, because you can't look back. When you leave wickedness and sin, when you leave Babylon, you can't look back and long for it. You can't go back to it. You can't go back to it. And you know, it's interesting, and this is not me. I have a sister who's gay. You know, God loves gay people. But it's the sin it's that he doesn't like. God loves homosexual people. God loves my sister. It's the sin that he doesn't like. My sister knows better. She's read the Bible. She's been trained in a very strong biblical education. And she knows, she's read about Sodom and Gomorrah. She knows all about it. Okay? So what she does is her decision, her life, and she's going to have to stand before God and give an account of her actions. And she's getting close. She's in her 70s. She's had a quadruple bypass. She has diabetes. She smokes like a fiend. She's overweight. She doesn't exercise. She doesn't eat right. And, you know, and she's got a lot of health issues. And I love my sister, but I can't live her life for her. I can't fix it. I've told her the truth. That's all I can do. Okay? So what was I saying before that? Anybody remember before I talked about my sister? Oh, gay people. Why do these mobs always involve homosexuals in the Bible? These mobs, you know, it's always involves sin and homosexuality. And there's so much homosexuality today. As I said, I have nothing against homosexuals. My sister is one. I love my sister. I used to work downtown next to someone who was a lesbian, and she was a friend. If I needed a cup of sugar, I'd borrow a cup of sugar from her. If she needed, you know, some baking soda or something, or butter, or you know, some eggs, she'd come to me. I mean, we had a good relationship. You know, we didn't go out and have a steak together, but we did. We were friendly. You know, we weren't pals, but. you see this rising up. I don't know if homosexuality is increasing or if just more people are coming out of the closet today. I don't know if there's just more gays in the world today. It seemed to be everywhere. I really do. I mean, it seemed all over the place, you know. So anyway, I don't know what the connection with that is. Maybe it has to do with the rebellion. But so Yeshua predicted, he predicted lawlessness in Matthew 24. If you go back to Matthew 24, Yeshua predicted a time. These are signs of his return. And he says, verse 6, you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. I'll say this again, this part again. They will deliver you to tribulation. These are the beginning of birth pangs. They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. We're about to see that in the world. We're seeing where if you believe, if you are, and I wrote this in my newsletter, if you are a, my wife changed it, but I wrote a deplorable, pro-life, Bible-toting, First and Second Amendment-supporting, smelly shop, Walmart shopping Jesus freak. Remember that guy who said he came down to the Walmart in Southwest Virginia and he could smell the stench? Peter Strzok, he came down a few years ago to a Walmart in Southwest Virginia. Gee, I wonder where that was. And here we are in Southwest Virginia. And he said he could smell the stench of Trump supporters. Well, I got news for you, Mr. Strzok. Just because some people wear flannel shirts and jeans and T-shirts and rebel flags back then, maybe they're not wearing them now, I don't know. Just because people wear, don't wear Brooks Brothers suits and don't wear Joseph Bank suits, and stuff like that. And shop at Neiman Marcus and buy fancy shoes when you're well groomed, not GQ, but when you're well groomed, there's a name for it. But anyway, people who don't groom, somebody's at the door. They just cracked the door. Come on in. Does somebody want to check that, please? They open the door and they're standing out there. Nobody? Okay. Well, it was Elijah came in. Elijah must have just come in. All right, so if you fit the bill as a deplorable, pro-life, Bible-toting, First and Second Amendment-supporting, Walmart shopping, I had actually said pro-life, Jesus freak, you are a target. They want to kill you. They want to kill you. There's no tolerance for you. This mob wants you gone. They want you destroyed. They want to destroy you. They want to take everything you have. They want to take everything you own. They want to take everything. They want to take everything, including your life and the lives of your children. Yeah. Okay? And you know something? Eventually, the Antichrist is going to succeed, but it's not going to be for a while. It's going to, that's coming later, maybe. I don't know. It's coming not within the next 4 years, okay? But there is, what we're seeing right now is we're seeing a repeat of history. When Hitler was, there were all these groups vying for power. You had the Kaiser in Germany, and then you had Hitler and the Nazis, and they wanted to overthrow the government, and they did. They overthrew the government in Germany. They burned the Reichstag, and Hitler, in 1933, declared himself the supreme ruler of Germany, right? Anybody remember that?
Yes.
Amen? Hitler declared himself. He took power. He seized power. He seized. That's what they want to do. They want to seize power. Why do you think they're camped out around the White House? You know what? And something's occurred to me too. Why haven't they attacked Wall Street? Well, before I close, I'm going to talk about that a little bit, about Mark Zuckerberg. I'm going to talk a little bit about the corporate money and the power of corporate money. The reason they haven't attacked Wall Street is because the money that's coming to support these protesters, rioters, looters, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, whoever they are, the money is coming from corporations. Yeah. It's coming from the super rich billion. These companies deal in hundreds of billions of dollars. Facebook did $80 billion in advertising last year. $80 billion in advertising. That's just advertising. They own Instagram. Facebook just bought some gaming platform. They own other things. These companies are dealing in amounts like $40 billion, $100 billion, $80 billion, $150 billion, $20 billion, amounts of money that you and I just can't even imagine. They're dealing with that, the sums and profits coming in the tens and tens and hundreds of billions of dollars. And it's these organizations. Here's the thing. They're devouring their own. Was he devouring his own when he devoured Moses? Was he trying to devour his own? Were the Jews, when they said, "Crucify Jesus, their king," were they devouring their own? Were they coming against their own flesh and blood? Their own Messiah? Yes. They were coming. They were eating their own. This week, all these companies have gone to attacked Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, and it started out with Ben and Jerry's and a couple other companies. Then Procter and Gamble got in, and Unilever. Unilever is one of the biggest companies in the world. They make so many things. They make a lot of the soap that you use in the bathroom. Unilever, they make all kinds of products. It's a multi-billion dollar international company, okay? Procter & Gamble came out and said, "We're not going to advertise." Coca-Cola said to Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, "We're not going to advertise unless you stop hate speech on Facebook." Well, I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, well, why are all these companies, they're eating Mark Zuckerberg. They're having him for lunch. They're attacking their own. He's one of them. And they're attacking, they're to the point where they'll attack each other and destroy one another because they're vying for power right now. They're vying for power, and so the social media controls the message. So if they can control the social media, they can control the message. Do you see? So they're taking the power from Mark Zuckerberg and saying, "We're going to control the message, not you, buddy, even though it's your company." Oh, hallelujah, if you get this. So even the great Mark Zuckerberg, one of the wealthiest people in the world, if they can take down Mark Zuckerberg, How easy can they take you down? If they can take down General Flynn, a three-star general, a four-star, three-star... No, it wasn't five-star. There hasn't been a five-star general since World War II. He might be a four-star, but major general. He was a lieutenant. I don't know, he was a lieutenant general. He was likely a three-star general. We can look that up. I'm not going to debate it, but there's no five-star generals right now. They stopped that after Eisenhower and General Bradley. Those were two of the last five-star generals. Then they went to four-star. Anyway, so I don't want to get off on that. if they can take down General Flynn, who is a high-ranking, at least 3-star, if not 4-star general, if they can take him down, and he is the director of the National Security Agency, and they suckered him so quickly, they took him down so fast, and how much more can they take you down? And if they can take the police down and make it so that the police can't use their guns against someone who attacks them, steals a weapon from a police officer, and then runs away, turns around, and aims the weapon at the police officer, and the police officer in the night doesn't know if the guy has a gun in his pants or if it's a taser. It's dark out. He just sees the guy pull something out and aim it at him. Now, I'm not defending what happened, Rayshard, whatever his name, the man that died in Atlanta. I don't know the facts of the case. I just saw what I saw in the video. But a police officer in Atlanta, and according in Georgia, has the right, legally, if someone steals your taser and uses it against you, has the law says you can shoot them. The law says so. But they've charged the guy with capital murder, with federal murder, capital murder. He can be put to death. The police officer can be put to death for killing this man. It's going to go to trial. What's happening is the mob is judge, jury, and executioner.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And that's what they did in France when they kept, what the Palace of Versailles, 1789. The mob surrounded the palace. King Louis, was it Louis the 14th? Or what was it, Anthony? It was one of the Louis. Louis the 14th or 15th. King Louis the 15th, I don't know. They overthrew the king, and they took his wife, Marie Antoinette, the one who said, she looked out the window at the mob, and she said, let them eat cake. Well, they gave her cake on a platter. They took her head and put it on a platter. They probably stuffed cake in her mouth. That's what the mob does. That's what they did to the Tsar in Russia in 1917. The mob took over, and the mob got so powerful that the military put down their guns and said, I'm not going to fight the mob. I'm going to join them. They took their uniforms off because the mob was so big that they started killing soldiers. And so the soldiers took off their uniforms and joined the mob. And then they took the Tsar, and these communists took the Tsar out to a house somewhere in the country, and they out to a country house somewhere, took him in a basement with his family and put a bullet in and shot them all, lined them up and had a firing squad and killed the Tsar and his 5 children and his wife. That's what they do. And in Nazi Germany, you had the Hitler fighting. There were the communists who were the reason the communists wanted the same thing the Nazis did, the National Socialist Party. Democratic, the Nazis, the National something, Democratic Socialist Party or whatever it is, I forget what it stands for, but it's, the word socialist is in there, in Nazi, a socialist party. Their goal was the overthrow of the capitalist system, just like the communists. They were fascists. The goal of fascism is the overthrow of the capitalist system. So why did Hitler fight the communists? Why did Hitler kill the communists? Why did he fought them? He killed them. He destroyed them. Because they were Jews. He wasn't about to give the power to the Jews. Even though they wanted the same thing. They wanted to take over the system of government, of the capitalist system, of the emperor, of the Caesar, of the Kaiser, of the parliamentary system of Germany, which was one of the countries of Europe. Are you following me?
Yeah.
See, there's a power struggle. They all want the same thing. They all want the same thing. They all want control and power, and they're willing to eat their own to get it.
Yeah.
They're willing to eat their own, whether it's Mark Zuckerberg, whether it's General Flynn, whether it's Harvey Weinstein. They're willing to eat their own to get the power. So, okay, so how do we emasculate men? How do we take power away from men? Well, we find these men like Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein who have been sexually abusing women and forcing women, men like guys like Matt Lauer from NBC, who've been accused, Bill, what's his name, O'Reilly from Fox, several others, Roger Ailes, have been all brought down. They were all brought down on charges of raping women, basically. They're all brought down. Harvey Weinstein, the movie producer, Bill, Roger Ailes, the head of Fox News, Bill O'Reilly, Matt Lauer over at NBC. Where's Matt Lauer? Remember, Today Show host for 20 years? He's gone. You'll never see him again. You know, his career's, he's done. He's all washed up for raping women. Woman or women, I don't know. Jeffrey Epstein, somebody killed Jeffrey Epstein to shut him up. You know, somebody likely killed Jeffrey Epstein to shut him up. The guy who did the forensics on his death said they couldn't, had no evidence that he hung himself. He was strangled. Dr. Famous forensic scientist, Dr. The white with the glasses and the white hair. He's at every famous murder. I don't know. I can't think of his name, but he said Biden, Dr. Whatever. Doesn't really matter. The forensic science pathologist. He said Jeffrey Epstein didn't hang himself. He was strangled. Somebody was trying to shut up Epstein. So what's the point? So Yeshua predicted lawlessness. Yeshua said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many." Enter by the narrow gate. Guys, don't follow the masses. Don't follow the mob. If you see the mob, go the other way. You want to be successful in with God? You're all going to stand before God. Every one of you in this room, every one of you watching, you're going to stand before God one day. I'm going to tell you something. The mob is never Korah and his rebellion. The communist rebellion in 1917, the communist revolution, the cultural revolution in the 1960s in China, where Chairman Mao took over the Chinese government, Iran, the Iranian revolution in 1979, where the Shah of Iran took over from the Ayatollah Khomeini took over from the Shah and exiled the Shah of Iran, who was like an emperor, and they were an ally of the United States. You know, it was a brutal revolution, the Iranian Revolution. All these revolutions have one thing in common: you cannot speak against them. If you speak against them, I can speak against it only because I'm not being attacked. I'm speaking again. I'm just teaching on what the history of mob rule. Yes. Amen. I don't know who I'm speaking against. I don't know who the enemy is. I don't know who I don't know who's leading it. I'll just tell you this: the guys in the street in different cities, tearing down statues, wearing black hoods, wearing black pants, covering their faces, those people are expendable. They're just pawns. They're just tool. They're just worker bees. Okay? And all the promises that they're being made to not work, to not go to school, all the promises that they're being made, it's just a bunch of baloney. They're going to be abandoned once whoever it is gets the power that they're seeking. Whoever's behind this, and they're powerful because they're big enough to bring down Mark Zuckerberg. If they're big enough to bring down Zuckerberg, whoever's way up leading this thing and funding it, okay, and there's big money funding this thing. Coca-Cola came against Zuckerberg now. Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Ben & Jerry's, Some of the biggest corporate powers in the world, biggest companies, you know, on the Dow Jones Industrial, some of them are coming against Facebook, you know, and for to stop hate speech. What is hate speech? How do you define hate speech? You know, well, the Constitution does define hate speech, but when if Mark Zuckerberg caves in, which I believe he has, then Facebook is lost, because the whole point of Facebook is to be able to freely say what you want to say, express yourself. The whole point of social media was to express yourself. When it started, was to express yourself freely and to not be, you know, to have your own page and to be able to say what you wanted to say. Now, the government defines what hate speech is. The Constitution, the Supreme Court of the United States has defined hate speech, okay? I don't have a list of hate speech. I know that you're not allowed to use swastikas as hate speech. And to support the Nazis is hate speech. There's certain things that the U.S. Supreme Court, that the law defines as hate speech. But we don't get to define hate speech. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy that runs Twitter, that's not, I don't get to define hate speech. You don't get to define hate speech. Okay? I was talking to my son last night about hiring people. I could only hire people based on the law. So I could not hire someone for wearing a what do you call those things in your ear, Isaac? A gauge. If somebody had gauges an inch wide in their ear, or if they had tattoo sleeves and nose rings and eye rings, you know, and tattoos on their face or their neck, by law, I had the right not to hire them. But I couldn't not hire somebody because they were gay. I couldn't not hire somebody because they were black, or because they were Chinese, or because they were from South America or Puerto Rico or something, Dominican Republic. When you're hiring, you can't discriminate based on race, religion. Now, if they've added, you know, sexuality into it, I believe you can't discriminate against someone who's gay. I believe years ago you could, now you can't. But you can discriminate based on appearance, and you can discriminate based on experience. If somebody comes to you for a job and they've never done, somebody comes to you and says, "I want to be a masseuse in your business." But I've never gone to massage therapy school, and I'm not trained, and I've never actually, I've given massages to my girlfriend, but I've had a few. Can I get a job? Would you hire them? No way, right? Because they have no experience, and you have a right to not hire them. All right. Oh, number one. So do you follow the mob? Yeshua said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many." Do you follow the many through the wide gate, or are you going to follow the few through the narrow gate? Are you going to stand up with the few and be like Moses and Aaron and fall on your face? Do you know the plague, this disease has come back because of the mob? Not even because the mob is spreading it because they're not wearing masks. It's because of the rebellion that's causing the plague to come back. It's the rebellion that's caused it to come back. It's not because they're not wearing masks. It's because of the rebellion. Do you see that? Absolutely. The plague has come back in the South, in some parts of the country where people aren't protesting as much. They're protesting more in the North, in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and Minneapolis. And there's some protests in the South, in Atlanta. But the states, mostly where the plague has come back, this COVID-19 had been in southern states where there have been Arkansas, you know, it's coming back, you know. God is no respecter of persons. America is one country. And what God's trying to show the people up north, they don't get it. The people who are out in the streets rebelling, who should be repenting instead of rebelling, the people who are rebelling and rioting, who should be repenting and praying for healing of this country, God's not pleased. God is judging this nation. And the plague is coming just like it did in Numbers 16, the story of Korah. God brought plague out upon the people. It broke out because of their sin of rebellion towards the leader. And there's rebellion towards the leader in this country. The same story is happening again. History is repeating itself. Amen. And the plague is breaking out. And it doesn't matter where it breaks out. These people who don't know God are scared. Just because I told you to wear a mask is not because I'm scared. I'm not scared of the coronavirus. I just believe in following the law. I'm lawful. That's why I tell everybody, follow the law. If you stay... Somebody said on TV the other day, they said, it was interesting, it was a Jewish guy, Ari Fleischer. He was the press secretary for George Bush, President Bush. And Ari Fleischer said, the law in our country brings freedom. The law is what brings freedom. If we obey the law, the Bible says the same thing in Romans 13. Obey the law and you'll have freedom. Amen. If you don't obey the law, you won't have freedom. There'll be no freedom if you don't obey the law. It's as simple as that. It's a very simple equation. Freedom, think of the law as a fence. And if you stay within the fence of God's law, you stay within the fence like a sheep, stay in the pen, then you'll be safe and you'll be free. And you can roam anywhere you want within the fence. But don't roam to a house of prostitution. But don't roam to a strip joint. Don't roam into a burglary or get in with a crowd that makes you break into a store or burn down a building or throw a rock through a window or beat somebody up and hurt and hit them with a rock or shoot them. That's jumping the fence. Robbing a bank, stealing from a store. It's not worth going to hell for a pair of Nikes. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth stealing a pair of Nikes to go into hell to steal a pair of Nikes. Better to try to mow 10 lawns and get yourself the Nikes. Get all the Nikes you want. All right, let's finish up. Do you follow the mob or do you follow Yeshua? I tell you, following Jesus will not be the popular way. If everybody's doing it, it's likely not God. If everybody's doing it, it's likely not God. If you follow the Lord, it's not going to be the popular way. Those who follow the Lord are going to be few, just like Moses and Aaron were just a couple men. But they got down on their faces. And this is, what's the message today? Overcoming mob rule by the power of God. So when the mob comes for you, don't get your AK-47 out. Don't get your Glock or whatever out. Don't get your shotgun out. Get on your face and cry out to God first. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Don't get on your don't pull out your guns when the mob comes for you. Get on your face and cry out to God. God can destroy the whole mob. Isn't that what he did with Korah and Korah's rebellion? Pray. Yes. God will fight for you. And then, after you've prayed, then get your AR-15 or your shotgun. But pray first. Amen? Okay, number three, the mob devours its own. When Hitler took power with his brown shirts, who helped him get power, they wanted payback. The brown shirts were the... I told you about the people out there rioting and tearing down statues. They're expendable. You know, they're going to want payback when they finish. They're going to want payback from whoever's calling the shots. There's somebody behind the scenes in a back office somewhere making the plans and calling the shots. And somebody's providing the money. But those people out on the streets, they're just useless tools. They're being used. Yeah. And so they're going to want something when they're done. And you know what they're going to get? A bullet. You know what they're going to get for tearing down the statues? When they go back to whoever it is that hired them for it, they're going to get nothing. If they get anything, it'll be a bullet. I guarantee you. This is a revolution we're seeing right here. It's an attempted revolution. But it's not going to work. It will work. It'll divide the country. They'll succeed in dividing this country. They won't succeed in taking the country. They'll destroy the country. They'll destroy the United States. And they'll destroy their own quality of life. These companies, I've been thinking about this thing with Zuckerberg. These companies are willing to eat Mark Zuckerberg for lunch and destroy Facebook. And they advertise on Facebook. Facebook is one of the biggest ways more people in the world use Facebook. They can reach more people on Facebook than any other platform. It's more popular than NBC, CBS, CNN. More people are on Facebook than any other TV station or anything. If you want to advertise, if you want to spend $1 million advertising, you can reach more people on Facebook with $1 million, 10 times more than you can reach using CNN or MSNBC. Do you understand what I'm saying? But they don't care. So... I'm trying to figure out why are they doing this? They would rather lose profits. I thought to myself two things. So either these people are going after Zuckerberg because either they're willing to rioters are burning and looting businesses, and their products that these companies make, if they burn a Target, Ben and Jerry's ice cream gets burned, melts. If they burn a Target, Procter and Gamble products get burned up. If they burn a Target down, Unilever products and Coca-Cola products all get burned up. They all get destroyed. So these companies are losing business. So are they trying to get Zuckerberg and the social media platforms to stop spreading the word, hey, there's a riot in Washington Square Park. There's a protest in Washington Square Park. There's going to be a protest in Lincoln Park in Washington, D.C. Saturday at 2 o'clock. We're going to tear down the statue. There's going to be a protest. Are they trying to get Zuckerberg to stop and Twitter to stop spreading the news about the protests? Or are they trying to just stop Trump from becoming president again? Are they willing to sacrifice profits and let their stocks go down and let the economy tank to get rid of Trump so that they can take over the country? Which do you think it is? Because, do you see what I'm saying? By by it's Zuckerberg, it's Facebook, and it's Twitter are the two main groups that are spreading the word to the nation, to the world. Hey, this is where the next protest is. This is where to meet. This is what time to meet. And when the protests turn into breaking windows and stealing Nikes and stealing and burning down grocery stores, that burning up Unilever soap and burning up Procter and Gamble food and burning up Coca-Cola products, are these companies concerned with Zuckerberg and Twitter that they're not going to advertise on them because they want to stop protests? Or because they're saying to him, we don't want you to let Trump advertise on your platform because the election's coming in 130 days and we don't want Trump to win. Which do you think it is? I think it's the latter. Yes. I think they don't want Trump to win. I think they're willing, and I watch CNBC. I think these companies are willing to let their stocks go down and their business and everything sink. They're willing to suffer, lose billions of dollars to see Trump fail to take over this country. Do you see that? They're willing to give up billions of dollars in profits. This is so unlike corporate America. And I said to myself, why haven't they attacked Wall Street, Xavier? Why are they surrounding police stations and the White House? Why aren't they going down to Wall Street? Money. Money. The money that's paying them, that's keeping them, that's paying them so they don't have to work at Taco Bell, the money that's keeping them from having to work at the corner gas station, at the Roadrunner, at the Pilot, the money that's keeping them from having to work as the clerk or wash cars for the GM dealer, you know, whatever it is they do, or be a waitress or a waiter or a cook, they're getting paid by these corporate entities, somehow funneling them money so they can be out in the streets all day long and all night long, and probably make more money doing that. Man, the mob devours its own. When Hitler took power with his brown shirts, you know what he did? He killed them. Once his power was secure, he replaced them with the SS, with the black shirts. He replaced the brown shirts with the black shirts. You know why? He didn't owe the SS anything. He put them in power with him, but he didn't owe them anything. The brown shirts wanted payback for taking the country for him. They wanted payment. And he didn't have payment, so he shot them. He killed them all. Every one of them was shot to death. You don't hear about many brown shirts. If you ever watch TV, you don't see, oh yeah, I was one of Hitler's brown shirts during the Second World War, before the Second World War. They're all dead. But there are SS guys still alive, a few of them. Well, Putin was a Russian, but yeah, he was a KGB. Mm-hmm. KGB, and he...
Ayatollah rounded up people when he came into power. Anybody who whispered the faintest thing against him...
The Ayatollah rounded up people, anybody that whispered... Yeah, you can't speak against these guys. Yeah, and that's what's going on too, is the snitch thing, as you're saying, Don. People are ratting people out. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. Those people have Jews in their attic, and then the Nazis would pull up the next day, and they'd knock on the door, and they'd come running in the house, and they'd find the Jews hidden in the attic, and they'd kill the owner, the Christian owner of the house, and they'd take the Jews off to concentration camps. people were ratting each other out. And that's what Bill de Blasio is doing in New York. He's encouraging people to... This was before the protests and the riots. If you weren't wearing a mask, if you weren't social distancing, he was encouraging people to call and rat out their neighbors and complain and file complaints against them so they could be arrested. Why was it okay to go out and protest and riot without your mask on? And it was fine with CNN. It was fine with Bill de Blasio. It was fine with MSNBC to go out in the streets without masks during a pandemic, but you couldn't go to church. But you couldn't, if you owned a barber shop or a massage therapy place, you couldn't open up for business. But if you were a barber, you couldn't open for business. They would arrest you. They arrested barbers. They arrested hair salons, hairstylists. They arrested gym owners, people that opened their gyms, were arrested. They arrested Jews in New York City for having a wedding or a funeral or something. They arrested Jews in Brooklyn for being out in the street. De Blasio sent the police after them. But then when thousands of people went out because of George Floyd to protest and to destroy New York, I believe that they're honest and sincere protesters, people who really were protesting the cruel and horrible death of George Floyd. I do believe there were sincere people who really were protesting. I think it's way past George Floyd now.
Yes.
And this other guy, Ray Shard, down in Georgia, I can't remember his last name, Brooks maybe. I think there are genuine people protesting peacefully, like Martin Luther King, but their message is getting destroyed by the violent, the people that own the night, the rioters, the looters, the violent ones, the thieves, the killers. Let's bring it home. Number four, nobody is safe from the mob, guys. If they can get General Flynn and Mark Zuckerberg, they can get you. You think you won't take the mark of the beast? Well, let me tell you this. You think you have Second Amendment rights? If a cop can't shoot a criminal for committing an offense like stealing a weapon, and he can't defend himself and shoot his weapon... I'm not talking about just the guy in Georgia. I'm saying in general, cops today are afraid to use their weapons because they might get charged. And there's legit... I lost a friend, a state trooper. He pulled over a car when I was in law school, Mark Charbonnier in Boston. He was my buddy, Charbo. He was a state trooper. And one night around midnight, he pulled over a van. And the guy had just gotten out of prison. He was on parole. And he had guns in the van. And my friend Charbo went up to the window and got his license. And as he was walking away or walking back, the guy shot him, hit him in the femoral artery. My friend Charbo bled out within an hour. He bled out. He was dead within an hour. And he was able to call for backup. And they found the scumbag who shot him. He didn't kill him, and he had crawled down into a ditch. They found him down in the ditch. My friend died, and there's a marker on the side of the road to this day honoring him. Mark Charbonnier, Route 3, South Shore, Massachusetts. If you're ever driving by. Nobody is safe from the mob. If they can get General Flynn and Mark Zuckerberg, they can get you. And if you think you're not going to take the mark of the beast, let me tell you something. If they threaten your children, your grandchildren, they threaten, you'll take anything they want to give you. If they take your kids or your grandchildren or your husband or your wife, you'll do what they tell you to do. And they'll take away your second, if they can't take away your Second Amendment rights by voting, they'll take them away by putting fear in you of using your weapons, that you'll be prosecuted. That's their goal.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, you want to own a gun, fine. But well, if police can be prosecuted, you should know you'll be prosecuted too if you use your gun to defend yourself. Speaking of Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, we see bullying on a titanic scale. This is bullying. What they're doing, these corporations are bullying, just like the bully in school, you know, the big kid who picks on the little guy and sucker punches him and pins him up against his locker and takes his lunch money and threatens him, you know, and picks on him every day. That's what these corporations are doing on a titanic scale to Mark Zuckerberg. The biggest companies in the world are pulling ads from social media. They're bullying Facebook and forcing Facebook and all social media to remove the First Amendment, not hate speech, to do away with my right. I prayed over the state of Tennessee back in February 13th. They put a thing on my Facebook page, on my ministry Facebook page, saying this is political speech. They didn't take it down, but they marked it. It was a prayer in front of Democrats and Republicans, blacks, whites, Muslims, and Hispanics. It wasn't a political speech. It was a prayer. And they call it political speech. They say, this is political speech. They did it yesterday. It wasn't there the day before. They took everything I've ever done that mentioned, they must have a computer that's gone through with it and looked for the word Trump. An algorithm, probably going through this right now. If you meant it's hate speech if you talk about Hitler, even if you say talk about Hitler as a nut job, in a negative way, they call it hate speech, right? By the way, there is a new platform that's called. There's a social media
Parler,
P-A-R-L-E-R. It's P-A-R-L-E-R. If you're looking for another social media outlet that's hasn't been affected by corporate America, where you can say what you want without fear of retribution, download. You can go to the Google App Store, download Parler, and sign up for it. I plan to do it. I just found out about it yesterday. Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. Is it anti-Trump, anti-Republican speech? I asked this before. To shut up, or is it to shut up Trump as the election approaches? I think it's to shut up Trump. Is it the fact that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are using social media to coordinate the protests on social media? Is hurting business? No, I don't think so. We talked about that. The mob ultimately devours itself. Harvey Weinstein, Matt Damon committed sexual, you know, acts with women. Women are taking power in this country by using sex to emasculate men, whether they're guilty or not. If a woman accuses a man of rape, he's labeled a rapist or a sexual abuser, whether he did it or not. And most of these guys are famous. Matt Damon, Jimmy Fallon, Jeffrey Epstein, Mark Zuckerberg. And if they will eat their peers like Zuckerberg, Fallon, Jeffrey Epstein, Matt Damon, the guy from NBC, Matt Lauer, if they will eat their peers, what will they do to a nobody rioter or a person like you and me, a deplorable, smelly, Walmart shopping, Bible-toting, First and Second Amendment believing deplorable? What will they do to a rioter who's cussing and throwing urine and rocks at police? According to the Federalist, first they tear down statues, then they kill people, then they take the power. But who is behind the rioters? Money, Hollywood, corporate America, maybe all of the Democrats, maybe all of the above. I don't know. I know there's money. I'm not sure who's behind it. I know Soros is in it. I don't know how much. One thing is for certain, the peons, the pawns, the nobodies who are out there fighting the war on the streets are expendable. If they can get to Zuckerberg, they can get to anybody. If they can get to Mark Zuckerberg, they can get to anybody. Conclusion: God said he would give his holy ones into the hands of the Antichrist for a time, Daniel 7. I wish I could say there was an easy way out, friends, but the Lord said there would be martyrs. The love of many would grow cold. People will turn on each other. We are already seeing people turning on their neighbors, children betraying parents. Only a remnant of overcomers, disciplined to accept persecution, will overcome. For Yeshua, the cross, was overcoming suffering, was overcoming sacrifice, sacrificing all, was overcoming. I'll say that again. To accept persecution, for Yeshua, the cross was overcoming. For Yeshua, suffering was to overcome. For Yeshua, sacrificing all his life, everything, was overcoming. Are you willing to overcome? Are you ready? Are you ready to be an overcomer? Are you prepared for what might come? Have you prepared your heart and said, I'm not going to follow the mob. I'm going to follow Yeshua. I'm going to stand with Yeshua, and I'm going to, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to stand for the truth and for what's right, and not go through the wide gate. Remember, the gate is wide that leads to damnation, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Please rise. I want to bless you. And that's how you overcome the power of the mob, is by falling on your face like Moses and Aaron and praying. And the plague we're seeing back in this country is because the reason for it is the rebellion. When the rebellion stops, the plague will stop. Father, and Aaron said to Moses, this is how you shall put my blessing upon... The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panav eilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. May God give you wisdom and strength and insight and discernment in these often confusing and dark times that we're living in. May God help you see through the forest and have mercy, and may God stop the plague. Lord, please stop the plague. Please stop the plague for the sake of your people, Lord. Stop the plague. It's enough already. We say Dayenu, Lord. Stop the plague. Forgive the rebellion, Lord. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive the rebellion that's going on, that's causing the plague. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And stop the plague. For the sake of your people, Lord, for the sake of your people, we ask that you stop the plague. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we pray, and I ask that you continue to pray, and if you listen to this message, that you take it back to your prayer groups and get on your faces and repent and make intercession for the plague and repent for those and say, ask God to forgive the rebels because they're the ones who've brought the plague back upon the country. and ask God to reveal the hidden things and the hidden agenda and the hidden power behind the rebellion. And God will reveal it. And remember, the mob always devours itself. And you can get down on your face. Korah devoured his relative Moses. He was related to Moses and Aaron. They devour themselves. And the corporate America is devouring their buddy Mark Zuckerberg right now. That's what they do. They devour themselves. Lord, show us who these people are. Show us who's running, who's pulling the puppet strings. In Yeshua's name, show us how to pray. And stop the plague, Lord. Stop the plague. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, Lord, we ask. And bring the intercessors to pray for our nation, Lord, and pray for our president, Lord. And have him to forgive these people. If he would forgive them for their actions, I believe the plague would be stopped. That he has the power to stop the plague. If he would forgive them for what they're doing, which is a hard thing for him to do, I'm sure, Lord. But that's the answer. Shabbat shalom, everybody. We love you. Thank you for your support of our ministry. If you've been blessed by this message, please contribute at www.forzionsake.org and on PayPal. We need your support in order to continue going. I wouldn't ask if we didn't need it. So God bless you and Shabbat Shalom. And if you want to sign up for our newsletter, it's right at the website. God bless you. Bye-bye.